40 years ago, on a summer night, Elvis Presley got into his car and drove a mere 5 miles from Graceland to a local recording studio. Now, the location of that studio is important because it's in the middle of an African-American part of town that has come to be known appropriately as Soulsville. And the soul of that community can be heard throughout the music on the legendary Stax record label. Memphis horns lend their tarnished brass harmonies to almost every Otis Redding record.
I want security, yeah.
The racially integrated house band, Booker T and the MGs, laid down a groove like none other. For nearly two decades, the Stax Recording Studio on Macklemore Avenue was ground zero of Southern soul music. So it's enticing to think that the king of rock and roll was on his way to a recording session with possibly career-redefining implications. What happened next has now been meticulously cataloged and rediscovered in the 3-CD RCA box set, Elvis at Stax. Music writer Robert Gordon, author of the books It Came from Memphis and a forthcoming history of Stax called Respect Yourself, says that Elvis's use of the studio was motivated in part by business. He'd just wrapped up his mega-hit Aloha in Hawaii television concert and sold his back catalog of music, allowing him to pursue more of the tunes he wanted to sing.
In 1973, Elvis has reached the globe in one concert. He has created a clean slate for his recording catalog, and he's created a system, a publishing system that should enable him to get first-class material. So there is this moment of psychological freedom and business opportunity.
But in the midst of all this, Elvis's personal life was in shambles, which Gordon says comes across in the songs he brought to Stax.
I read them all as intensely personal. They all seem to be sung to his soon-to-be ex-wife, his child, or his girlfriend. They all are imbued with the trauma, the personal trauma he was going through.
On an early outtake of the tune, For Old Time's Sake, his voice seems to bear the stress of his personal life.
Before you go, walk out on me. Take a look around, tell me what you see.
After 11 takes of this song, Elvis left the building. He canceled the rest of his summer session. A few of the local musicians, like Stax guitarist Bobby Manuel, thought Elvis didn't seize on a great opportunity.
We were told that the main reason he wanted to come there was to do a lot of the Stax catalog. Not a lot, but some of that style music, like Otis Redding and Dock of the Bay and Or I've Been Loving You Too Long would maybe even been better. Just because he was a soulful guy. You know, and to hear him have done those songs, I think it had just opened, number one, those songs to a whole new market of people, even though a lot of those songs had crossed over.
The three Stax musicians in the room on the last day of recording, including now legendary drummer Al Jackson and bass player Donald Duck Dunn of the MGs, found themselves backing inconsequential pop numbers like Girl of Mine, which would take a stretch of the imagination to find the Memphis soul in it.
Oh, girl of mine.
Manuel says the Stax vibe just wasn't there.
The thing about Stax, which was really, I wish we could have gotten into that, was it's all about feel. And so in cutting for a groove, if the band is feeling it and the singer's feeling it at the same time and you've really got the groove, that's what, you've heard those records. If somebody had said, man, let's cut to where we're all in it, you know, rather than, I'm not saying we were doing this, but rather than getting a polished in-out kind of thing or, you know, a blue plate special, as I call it, if we had cut when everybody was in that, you know, in the moment, so to speak, I can't imagine what that would have been. That would have been a Memphis first, man.
5 months after his first visit, Elvis returned to Stax. But this time, he brought all his favorite musicians. Bass player and record producer Norbert Putnam, who had recorded extensively with Elvis in Nashville, said he too arrived with soulful expectations.
I couldn't wait to see what Elvis would do in this room, you know. If the room really had magic. You know.
Soon into this second session, Putnam noticed there was virtually no real soul music on the lineup. Instead, Elvis was being fed tunes by his management, a few of which he'd never even heard before. On some occasions, Elvis would listen to a demo version of a song recorded previously by a sound-alike Elvis singer. The band would sketch out the chord progressions on yellow notepads. Then, with virtually no practice, they'd start recording. What Elvis's management really didn't like, Putnam said, was when the musicians would slyly try to get Elvis to do a number that wasn't on the docket.
And James Burton would start playing on an old Chuck Berry riff. And I would say, "What is that?" And he'd say, "Promised Land." "Oh, I love that. Hey, Felton, we're going to do Promised Land." And suddenly we're doing that song. There were many instances where some great old standard came up, and 10 minutes later, we're recording it.
As it turned out, the impromptu version of Promised Land remains one of the session's biggest standouts.
I left my home in Norfolk, Virginia, California, home of mine. I straddled that Greyhound and rode him into Raleigh and on across Carolina.
Robert Gordon says the December sessions had a more positive atmosphere, which he attributes to Elvis starting to get his personal life back in order. But there are still some darker spots.
Some gotta win, some gotta lose. Good time, Charlie's got the blues.
I mean, it's a really personal song, right? I mean, Elvis is Good Time Charlie. He's the guy who everybody hangs around with to have fun with. And now he's going through a divorce. I like to read all these things into it.
In several ways, Elvis's Stax visit resulted in the great studio album that never was. For one, the tunes were never packaged together or marketed with any Stax affiliation. They were parceled out over two albums that looked almost identical to the other Elvis albums of the 1970s, only the jumpsuits were different. RCA's new box set, Elvis at Stax, corrects that error by reuniting the masters and a number of outtakes. On the cover, a thick gold chain encircles a photo of Elvis, who has a slightly irritable look. But it's the actual content of the Stax sessions that still have music scholars wondering, what if?
Elvis at Stax is not the record that is like, you know, he does Memphis Soul. We can only long for that.
Still, Gordon adds that Elvis at Stax is soulful in a different way, a portrait of a man at a crossroads in his life.
Another artist doing these sessions, we could look back and go, wow, man, that was a highlight of his career. You know, but Elvis, you go like, well, you know, yeah, it's great, but it's not like Suspicious Minds. It's not That's All Right, Mama. So it's just another reminder to us as fans of how high a bar Elvis set for his own work.
For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank.